Mrs. Deaver will be here. I think she's on the way. I'll be here shortly, hopefully. We'll call the meeting of August 9th, 2011, Sussex County Council to order. Mr. Baker, the agenda.
Yes, we do have several suggested changes. First, under myself, letter of credit for Osprey Landing. We can delete that item. That has been taken care of. Under old business, conditional use 1897, Russell Banks. We'd like to defer on that conditional use application for at least a few weeks. And then Steve Hudson, Sussex EOC Airport Solar Energy Project change order. We'd like to defer on that also. And executive session. We do not need the executive session today.
Okay. You mentioned change order. Does that also include the substantial completion?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
So we'll take executive session and a possible action also off.
Yes.
Any more questions or comments? If not, we'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
You got it.
Second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the agenda as amended. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
All vote yes. In our packets, we had the minutes of July 26th and August the 2nd. And we have any concerns or questions about those minutes? If not, they'll stand approved. Correspondent, Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. President, I have two letters. The first one's from Seaford Volunteer Fire Department, Inc. Dear Honorable Council members, the officers and members of the Seaford Volunteer Fire Department, Inc., we'd like to take this opportunity to thank the Sussex County Council for the Ladies Fire Grant for Fire, EMS, Aerial, and Rescue, which we received at the Sussex County Firefighters Association meeting in Ellendale on May 24, 2011. Under these tough economic times, the money will certainly help to enhance our abilities to continue the service we feel is necessary for the protection of lives and properties in the Seaford Fire District. Additionally, we were most impressed with the latest news President Vincent gave us that night, that the County Council will be investing $10 million to receive interest, that after that first 1% that will go to county, the next 4% will be divided with the fire departments in Sussex County. This has to be one of the greatest exploits the County Council has ever embarked upon, and we're sure to took a lot of time planning and should become one of the best laid adventures of all times. Again, we thank you for your generous thoughts and consideration for the fire and EMS services in the county. Signed, John C. Willen, President. The next letter is from the Salvation Army. Dear friends of Salvation Army, we are pleased to share two pieces of news with you that we were very excited about and thought you should know. After being here and in charge of the operations of the Salvation Army in Sussex County and operating our Seaford Service Unit and Corps out of a 1,200 square foot space in a storefront next to the food line for the past 4.5 years, we're happy to announce that our prayers have been answered. We moved July 1 to a new and larger space. We now have 5,000 square feet from which to operate our family services slash programs and Corps. We are located directly behind the Mexican restaurant in Seaford, Delaware, which is just south of our old location. We look forward to planning some new programs out of our new building with this much-needed space. A couple of the new possibilities for program area, senior feeding program, and an after-school arts and tutoring program. Exactly, we write to let you know we have recently been promoted to auxiliary captains effective July 13, 2011. We thank you for your continued trust and support of our programs and look forward to having you visit our new location sometime soon. It's Charles and Debbie Engel, auxiliary captains. And that is all the correspondence.
Correspondence and council. Mr. Baker.
It's the first item on the agenda is a Sussex Outdoors program. And with us today, we have Mr. John Hollis. From the Moors, and he has asked to present some information he has about the outdoor program in Sussex County.
Good morning, Mr. Hollis.
Good morning. My name is John Hollis, and I'm here, I guess, wearing a variety of hats, but representing as a Sussex manager for Nemours Health and Prevention Services. Thank you for your time for this update and the opportunity to share some not only local and regional but national excitement about Sussex County, Delaware. A little less than 3 years ago, I stood in this same spot and asked the council to join with Nemours and other partners in a quest to make Sussex County's children the healthiest in the nation. Let me give you a brief update on what's transpired since we explored that concept and since this council joined in that concept with your resolution. Our child care program has been recognized or is recognized nationally by the Let's Move program, and that the state-of-the-art early childhood campaigning relative to children in child care and children in the preschool age having healthy lifestyles is gaining national recognition. And in addition, the most recent action by the 146th General Assembly reinforced that with additional investments in early child care. Another significant update that due to this council's leadership, Sussex County has become the leader in what is called Farm to School. Over 10,000 children in Sussex at their school lunch or part of their school lunch program are enjoying fresh fruits and vegetables grown in Sussex County. And as the Farm to School program, which is now has an official body, moves forward, Sussex County is recognized as the leader for the state of Delaware in Farm to School. We'll talk in a little bit, but another significant happening is during the 146th General Assembly just concluded on 30 June, it was unprecedented activity relative to creating a built environment conducive to healthy eating, active living. These actions, Walkable, Bikeable Delaware, No Child Left Inside or Child in Nature, and particularly Senate Bill 130, the Bond Bill, are demonstrative examples of how Sussex County and, in fact, the entire state of Delaware is becoming a national leader. Speaking of national lead, probably the most significant thing since we were last together, although I did report on this briefly and have kept Council President Vincent and Dave Baker up to speed, Sussex County is now on the national stage. That's just not an expression, it's a reality. In fact, this afternoon there's a national webinar that Sussex County will be focused on by the Center for Disease Control. If you're familiar with the way our nation deals with its medical issues and health issues, it all funnels through the Center for Disease Control. The CDC has singled out Sussex County as one of 40 achieved communities in the United States, the only one in the Mid-Atlantic area that is showing progressive action. I mention that not to sing plaudits, but to give humble gratitude and recognition to this council. 3 years ago, you saw the vision. In partnership with organizations, including Nemours, Delaware State Parks, the Sussex County Child Health Promotion Coalition, partnerships have produced results that are getting literally national attention, particularly in the area of treating the most expensive drain on our economy, the most extensive drain relative to comparison with other financial outlays of other progressive countries, and that is the treatment of chronic illness. We do the worst job of that in the United States. It's our biggest challenge for the future, but probably the best job of it being done, not just locally and regionally, is in Sussex County, Delaware. We are making progress. Hence, last Thursday, we had a press conference that Council President Vincent spoke at and that Councilman Wilson and Dave Baker were there in recognition of the Markell administration's support of what's happening in Sussex County. In your packets, there's a magazine. I don't ask you to turn to it now, but there is a page devoted to the Markell administration's support at both the governor's level and the cabinet level to an event that will really be a series of events in a campaign called Sussex Outdoors. The General Assembly has spoken vividly in their support of this concept. So on October 13th, at the beautiful new Nature Center at Trap Pond, in the morning, key leaders, such as yourselves, and you all have a sincere invitation to this event, we'll hear the CDC's most preeminent speaker on walkable, bikeable America, and also hear from our governor and hear from other local individuals about what a vision and about the specifics of a vision that can happen in Sussex County. Then at 1 o'clock until dusk, Trap Pond will be opened up for free of charge to all of Sussex Countyans. There's a lot of detail, descriptions of Sussex Outdoors in your green packet that's at your place. But please know that State Parks is a key partner and has pledged their support and are already demonstrating that, along with the Land Trust, and Dennis Forney has been extremely active as we plan this campaign. One partner that is going to help make this happen and make the picture on the cover of the Sussex Outdoors Achieve packet become a reality is Bike Delaware. Bike Delaware and their executive director, Jim Wilson, were absolutely key in the tremendous successes we had with the 146th General Assembly to date. Bike Delaware brings a level of enthusiasm and expertise to Sussex County, and also Bike Delaware brings a perspective that will have ramifications into the economic development and tourism potential of this whole movement. Jim Wilson and I have met with Dave and are going to be working with Dave and Chip and others as we move forward. As the governor has now mentioned, by my count, publicly three times, the passion for completing a trail that would run from Georgetown to Lewis that would be a safe biking, safe walking environment. And again, would be another demonstrated example of putting Sussex County not just on the regional map, but on the national map. So before I entertain some questions, I would like to introduce a vibrant partner of Sussex Outdoors. Traveled down from Newcastle today to just share some brief perspective, and that is the executive director of Bike Delaware, Jim Wilson. Jim?
Hi, I'm James Wilson from Bike Delaware. I'm the executive director of Bike Delaware. I can't really add too much more to what John said about the crisis that we all face with regard to chronic disease in this country. 9% of Americans have been diagnosed with diabetes. So I'll just mention one other nine number, which is that we spend $9,000 on average per family on transportation. It's the second largest household budget expense after housing. And in an economic environment like the one we have now with persistent and high unemployment, we find families making extremely difficult choices between transportation and housing. And we believe that the, as John said, the action of the General Assembly not only has important implications for encouraging people to live more active lifestyles, but also for giving people options to, instead of being two-car families, maybe they can be one-car families, an opportunity to be frugal in their household budgets when they're faced with unexpected changes in their economic circumstances. As John said, there's also an economic development and tourism angle to the, in particular, the Lewis-Georgetown Trail. Tourism is a $1 billion industry in Delaware. Of course, in Rehoboth and Lewis, of course, it's an extremely important industry. Folks who come to enjoy Sussex County's beaches are not necessarily coming here to, come see a play. They want to enjoy the outdoors. They want to enjoy the beaches. They want to be active. When we've talked to folks from the tourism who are looking at, how to promote tourism in Sussex County, they say, give us the Lewis-Georgetown Trail. It will, it will be an immense help to the tourism industry in our area. It'll not only give people a reason to come back, another reason to come back, but will bring tourists into parts of Delaware that and see parts of Delaware that they might not otherwise see. So John talked about the health angle, the chronic disease angle. There are other tremendous reasons why we want to go forward with the Lewis Georgetown Trail.
Jim, thank you. And Jim, most sincerely, thank you for your tremendous support for our efforts in Sussex County on behalf of Bike Delaware. In conclusion, let me say we're fielding phone calls from all over this nation, emails from all over this nation, and one of the common questions is how is this happening in Sussex County, Delaware? Certainly the Achieve recognition is a key part of that to put us on the national stage, but let me go back to the essence. The most predominant answer that I share when those questions come forward is you ought to know our county council. They are have a deep concern for the citizens of Sussex County. They are visionary and progressive and caring about not only the highways and byways, let's speak, of Sussex County, but caring about the health issues, particularly health issues around chronic illness, which is the most expensive aspect of our healthcare system, both locally and nationally. So with that being said, I can't thank this council enough. There will be a day when we can celebrate Sussex County's children are the healthiest in the nation. Right now, they're spending very little time in physical activity outdoors. So that's one of our focuses. But I just ask you, and you can do this yourself, as we were instructed to do by the CDC in Atlanta back in April, get a picture of a yearbook of an elementary school classroom in 1980. Get a picture of an elementary classroom in 2009. You would think America has undergone a genetic mutation, and we have not. We've undergone a lifestyle mutation, and we're reversing that trend in Sussex County, thanks in large part to David Baker, and I can't commend David Baker enough for his progressive leadership, his demeanor, and the way he has been there to help us at Nemours and Bike Delaware and State Parks and the governor's office, and to this council. I want, not just as part of this presentation, but I want to come across as 100% sincere in thanking you, because without your endorsement, without your participation, Sussex would not be a nationally recognized Achieve community. But the fact is, we are, and we're going to take that ball and run with it. Any questions?
Thank you very much, John, for the report. Thank you. And thank you for what you all are doing. Baker?
Yes. Thank you. The next item is housing preservation and grant resolution. And each year, we have a resolution requesting the council approval to apply for housing preservation grant funds for housing rehab projects. And we have with us today Mr. Bill Lacates and Brad Whaley from the Community Development and Housing Office to explain that proposed resolution.
Good morning. In your packet this week, you should have received the housing resolution for HPG, our homeowner housing preservation grants. It's our smallest grant we do receive, but it is very valuable because we augment it with our CDBG. Today, we're here just briefly to finish up the statement activity that was posted in the paper, one of the requirements. In the packet, it was your little handout. And basically, the project is homeowner-occupied, housing rehabilitation in 100% of the rural areas. It is the grant that we split with Kent County Levy Court because years ago, about 4 years ago, when they reduced it from 50,000 each, they reduced it to one applicant in the state of Delaware could receive it. And rather than go head-to-head, we decided to just basically split it, and so each county gets $25,000. We use five for the administration and 20 for the area. It impacts about 12 dwelling units, the total grant, six in Sussex County. They're all Section 8 income or below, which is about 30% of the medium income And basically, we help most of the time elderly, and it's one-time sign-up per year. Once we turn this application in, it's been a short turnaround this year, so we'll turn it in next week, actually, and should we hear something in October 1, providing the government is doing okay, we will start to do our advertising and have them come in and sign up, each homeowner that's wanting us to assist them. So that is the statement of activity. It is the same as it's been for the past 16 years. It has been reduced, but it is still active and it's a very needy program. Okay. Any questions?
I have a motion, sir.
Yes. I have a resolution, if I may.
Sure.
Resolution endorsing project to be submitted to the United States Department of Agriculture Rural Housing Services for funding and authorization. Authorizing David B. Baker, County Administrator, to submit pre-application. Whereas the Sussex County Council, in cooperation with Kent County Levy Court, resolves to apply for a housing preservation grant from the Rural Housing Service authorized by Section 533 of the Housing Act of 1949, as amended by Section 522 of Title V of the Housing Urban Rural Recovery Act of 1983. Whereas Sussex County has met the pre-application requirements of housing preservation grants, whereas Sussex County is eligible to submit for such grants to the Rural Housing Services, now therefore be it resolved, Sussex County, after holding a public outreach on the project, to be included in the pre-application to Rural Housing Services for HPG funds, endorsing the following projects. $25,000 for Sussex, $25,000 for Kent. Be it further resolved by the Sussex County Council that David B. Baker, County Administrator, is authorized to submit the above-mentioned project to Rural Housing Services for funding.
Entertain a motion to approve the resolution.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any questions? I'll take the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you
both very much.
Mm-hmm.
Baker?
The next item is a redistricting report, and Mr. Everett Moore has been working on this project, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Moore.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Baker and Mr. President. This year, as council knows, we have deviated from the council's past practice, and we have had a public comment period before we began drafting process on the new maps. This was the first time this has occurred. In the past, the only time that there was an opportunity for public input was when the final ordinance was drafted, and then there would be a public hearing on that final ordinance. I do believe this process was very worthwhile, and I would suggest that future councils follow the same procedure of having public comment prior to any drafting of the ordinance and drafting of the maps. We've received numerous emails, and I have provided the emails and the letters in the packets for everyone to review. And a review of those show, number one, that the public did appreciate the process of being able to have input before the maps were drafted. Number two, the desire to keep communities and towns intact. Number three, that a recognition of the growth, the amount of growth east of Route 113. And four, the public desired from those emails and letters an opportunity to have further input after the maps are drafted, but prior to the ordinance being drafted, as been done in the past. In the past, as I indicated, the only time that there was any public input was after the maps were drafted and the ordinance drafted. In reviewing those recommendations and the input from the letters and emails, I concur with every one of those that I've just read. Therefore, I recommend that 2 weeks from today that I give a further report to the county review the maps, show the maps, have the maps displayed on our website with my comments and explanation of why we drew the maps the way we have, and give the public a 10-day period of input on those revised maps. That will all be done prior to the ordinance being drafted and ordinance introduction. And that way the public has an opportunity to see the maps as drafted and have input prior to the final ordinance being drafted. So I would, if the council concurs and does not object to that process, I would propose that 2 weeks I come back with the maps drafted. At that point, on later that day, have those posted to the website with an email contact for the public to be able to comment on those maps, also an address for them to be able to send in, have that for a 10-day period, and then I believe council is off for 2 weeks. When council comes back, that I give a report based upon those comments that came back, and based upon council's recommendation, could begin the drafting of the ordinance.
That's fine.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Baker?
Okay, the last item is the administrator's report, and pass that down. First is a copy of the updated community data sheets prepared and revised by Ms. Julie Wheatley, Director of Economic Development. These data sheets regarding information about the county are available online at the county's website. Again, our goal is to provide a variety of information for prospective businesses and others interested in Sussex County. Delaware State Police report for May is attached. The State Police handled 4,117 complaints and completed 4,322 traffic arrests and 1,158 criminal arrests, as per the report. 2011 Senior League Softball World Series, another reminder, is underway at Roxana at the Lower Sussex Little League Park. Games will occur all week as per the attached schedule. Final game will be Saturday on the 13th at 2 p.m. and will be broadcast live on ESPN. This series involves many volunteers from throughout the county, including some employees who even take the whole week off as vacation to go work and help. Chesapeake Bay Watershed Public Forum attached as a press release from DENREC announcing a meeting on August 11th at the Seaford Volunteer Fire Company from 6 to 8 p.m. regarding the state's progress in improving water quality in the Chesapeake Bay. Implementation goals for phase two will be presented. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Becker. Old business. An ordinance providing for the temporary extension of time for subdivision applications, conditional use applications, and residential plan community districts. Mr. Lang.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
In your packet, you have a, should have received a copy of a memorandum addressed to Dave Baker from staff. It includes a copy of the report to council based on the commission's public hearing of April 28, 2011. Also includes a copy of the minutes of the council meeting of May 10, 2011. Included and attached to that report is also my listing and report on subdivisions previously submitted. A short list, not the long one. Residence plan communities and conditional uses. I will note, and I'm sure you've noted if you reviewed it, that the report and listing reference different types of information, because you're talking about three different types of projects. One is subdivisions, one residential plan communities, which includes single, multi, some commercial activities, et cetera. And the other is conditional uses, which include a multitude of everything, pretty much, from commercial, industrial, business, bar pits, parks, long list. In doing that list, the subdivision list was in the range of 477 in long form, and there could be, if my counting is right, 45 projects could be affected in the subdivisions for a total of 4,201 lots based on their preliminary applications. There could be 23 residential planned communities affected. That number, and that report was rather long because I got to the point of realizing how many residential planned communities are. There's 138. And of that 138, it appeared that probably 23 of those projects could be affected for a total of 7,615 units, which would be, could be single family, multifamily, townhouses, et cetera. On the conditional use side, again, the list is rather long because I went back to a certain date and there were, could be 41 projects affected.
But there was no way, Mr. Lank, for us to know what those conditional uses were or where they were or when they expired. If I understand, I had took the weekend to read that report. It's very good, but I do have some questions.
Well, the listing on the conditional uses was I referenced tax map parcels because it relates to the districts of the council districts.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't try to put a road location because it would have, I'd still be doing road location if that were the case on all three of the different proposed listings. What I tried to do was list projects that are substantially underway. That's pretty simple because they were started.
Mm-hmm.
Projects that could be voided, and I typed in voided, and in some cases I gave reasons why they're voided. For example, design consultants are listed as voided because it's been subdivided since. It was subdivided in 2008. And in some cases I put a question mark because there's some legal research has to be done on a couple of them. And there's also time extension ran out a certain date, and typically that time extension ran out after the date of discussion, which I presented to council back in May, which was January 1st of 09, based on a recommendation of the commission, not the ordinance date, which is 010.
We're not looking at projects that have been have already expired, is that correct?
It appears that they could, but all these projects could be affected based on this ordinance.
The ones that have already expired?
There are certain listings in there that show, let me find one for an example. There's a question, and then it says void, okay? For the Marine Farm LLC, which was the equestrian facility, which was never constructed, you know, based on issues between the equestrian folks and the developer. That time extension ran out in June 27th of 10.
So we're thinking about
but
extending
if you went
it until
back
2013?
To the date of January 1 of 09 or 010, the council could still grant an extension, it could still be valid. But there are some projects that I've noted questionable void that if it's adopted and the date is specific date set aside, whether it be January 1st of 9 or January 1st of 10, it could be extended.
So we're bringing them back from the dead?
It's dependent on how the ordinance is adopted. And there are a couple of projects like that. And there are a couple that are clearly void. But I went back to two, in the conditional use, I went back to 2006, that's 3 years, because we were talking 3 years, based on time, you know, based on the typical conditional use approval processes through it. So I went back to January 1st of 06. That's why the list is longer than it mm-hmm. had to be. And that's done throughout all three, the conditional uses, the RPC, the subdivision.
So the only really criteria for this, for an application to qualify is basically that they fit in that time frame.
That's the way it was presented. And what was proposed by the commission, when you finish questions, I'll read what the action of the commission was,
mm-hmm.
was that we create a dead end date so those projects would be terminated based on January 1st of 2013,
right.
Which gives a dead end date where those folks that haven't aren't substantial in the way would have the opportunity to get to that point as of January 1st of 2013.
Even if they have the even if their permit had expired.
Yeah, there's no official notice that they've expired. It's based on the code. Code says 3 years, and that's what they would get.
Well, subdivisions, it would be, wouldn't it?
Well, subdivision a little different because the subdivision you've got now, based on the ordinance, is 3 years to get
right.
preliminary approval, from preliminary approval to get final approval. Then you have 5 years from that date to get substantially under construction, substantially underway.
I saw very few that were soon to expire. I didn't see that. I saw a lot of them going up to 2015, 2013 already.
Oh, some of them are. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it, the list also includes the ones that are still pending based on public hearing processes.
Now, a lot of the problems, Lawrence, with the subdivisions is the getting permits, and when they get permits, they have time frames associated with them so they can expire. We extend everything. Doesn't the state have to, don't we have to coordinate this with the state and their permitting process? I mean,
if
we
if
can extend it, but if they don't extend it, we've just basically done nothing.
If it's a dead, basically a project has not started, then all their approvals are based on certain times. So some agencies have 2 or 3 years, some only have, like the entrance, it may be good for 6 months, but they ask DLDOT for an update or a renewal.
But what we're doing here hasn't really been coordinated with any of the state permitting agencies.
Not yet, not until we take action.
Okay, is there any indication that they're willing to give extensions on all their permits for the time frame?
I don't know how this has anything to do with that, George.
Because to get a development, you've got to, before he can approve it,
I don't know where you're going with this. I don't know why we need to do that. I mean, we don't tell the highway department to give a permit.
No, but if we've extended something for 2 years, and then during that 2 years, these permits expire, then you've got nothing. You don't have a subdivision. You can't get approval.
But if they got approval from here, if they get extension from here, they go back.
They don't get an automatic
decision. It's automatically up to them. It's up to the highway department to make that decision. It's not our point of view of what we can tell them to do or not.
All right, I think you're missing something. I say if we extend things 2 years, I would think DLDOT, DNREC would also have to be willing to extend their permits for these subdivisions and RPCs and other applications, Sam.
I understand that, but I don't understand how we fit in that picture.
Well, you should, but we're all together in this.
Not necessarily. When they leave here, when they leave from here, we don't tell the highway department what to do.
Okay.
In some cases...
Right. Isn't that right?
Okay.
Yep.
No. Well,
in some cases, the entrance permit, for example, it's the project's already started. It's not necessarily substantial underway. They put the entrance in, and they think they're substantial underway, but they're not.
Right.
So it's our call. They might have built the entrance to state design and approved, but it's nothing else.
We got some of these don't even have entrances.
That's correct.
That's the ones I'm worried about. Right. The ones that have done nothing with DLDOT, and they have an entrance permit, and it expires in 2011, and we've just extended things to 2013. We need to, there needs to be some coordination between the state permitting process and the counties.
It would be once we get an ordinance adopted.
They will automatically.
And we would have to go back and ask for certain information on some of those projects.
Okay. All right.
There's every agency's got a different timeline.
Mm-hmm. I'm just still.
Conservation district is 2 to 3 years. The DLDOT entrance sometimes,
right.
Some weeks, and then sometimes it's 6 months. But they grant extensions.
Well, Marine Farm is an example of something. I mean, how long do we go before we decide that, you know, it's not going to happen? I know that you sort of voided some that were back in 1973, started back then.
The most difficult one of the three type project applications mm-hmm. is the RPC.
Right.
It's not specific on once you get the public hearing when you have to have final approval. It would be specific based on once you got final approval to when it has to be substantially underway
mm-hmm.
because it relates to the subdivision ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
So there the 5 years would kick in. And the reason I gave you the long list on the RPCs is because the long list includes all the projects. It shows you that we have voided quite a few projects.
Mm-hmm.
It shows you that projects have gotten preliminary and not final. It shows you projects that have got final and are substantially underway. It gives you four or five different scenarios
right.
in RPC.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it took so long and that list was so long.
Mm-hmm.
To show you all the way back to 71, actually. 72 was the first one. And that project was reapproved or approved three times. We withdrew the first time, got voided the second time, and finally got built on the third attempt, I'll say, and it was a different developer that did it, and they were all local, that very first one.
Different developer, but under the same terms that originally were agreed to.
And they went through public hearing three times to
mm-hmm.
get the approval,
mm-hmm.
and the number of lots was basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
The project's complete, and rather than write completed, almost completed, I just put substantial away on all those, because that's the text of the ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
So the recommendation of the Planning Zoning Commission to the council back on May 10th, and still their recommendation, Mr. Ross stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of the ordinance amendment with revised language in section 1, 2, and 3 by deletion of the wording at the end of each section that references and is bracketed to remove and outstanding as of January 1st, 2010 shall remain valid for two additional years. And inserting in lieu thereof the wording, which is underlined for text purposes, with a date of approval of January 1, 2009 or later, shall be valid until January 1, 2013, or the expiration of the current approval, whichever is later. There's quite a few of the subdivisions, conditional uses, and RPCs that are actually, because they've been more recently approved, are actually fall into later than 13, mm-hmm. some 14, some 15, mm-hmm. actually, because that list goes up to current. And for the purpose of clarification of each section, the following wording is proposed since the sections are worded somewhat differently. Section 1, which references subdivisions. Notwithstanding the time limits for validity set out in Chapter 99 of the Sussex County Code, any preliminary subdivision plat under 99-9B, and any recorded subdivision plat valid under 99-11 and 99-40, and this is underlined for an addition to the wording, with a date of approval of January 1, 2009 or later, shall be valid until January 1 of 2013, or the expiration of the current approval, whichever is later. And I'll break off from that. And that references, the ordinance references, you can get 2 year additional time on your preliminary approval, or, and I won't say and because you're not getting both, or 2 years time extension on your final approval to be substantially underway. So they're basically, rather than getting, I'll say 8 years, they're getting 10 from the date of approval. In Section 2, notwithstanding any other provisions of Chapter 115 of the Sussex County Code for any residential planned community valid under Article 16 and outstanding as of January 1, 2009 or later shall be valid until January 1, 2013 or the expiration of the current approval, whichever later. Basic same
scenario. Basically, they added the same thing in all sections.
Yep. Right. And then the last one would be Section 3, notwithstanding any other provision of, in referencing conditional uses, excuse me, notwithstanding any other provision of Chapter 115 of the Sussex County Code for any conditional use action approved pursuant to the provisions of Article 16, Article 24, Article 28 of Chapter 115 of the Sussex County Code, valid and outstanding as of January 1, 2009 or later, and relating to new residential, commercial, or industrial developments shall be valid until January 1, 2013 or the expiration of the current approval, whichever later. That would be conditional uses. Again, conditional use is valid for 3 years based on current ordinance. And that would give them an additional 2 years. Not 2 years additional on the final, it's just one time on the conditional uses. And there was a motion by Mr. Rawl, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this ordinance amendment to the council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be approved with the revised language stated, and that motion carried 5-0. The difference in the two was that the ordinance, when it was introduced, the date was January 1 of 2010. The commission recommends you go back to 2009. And then you create a dead-end date of 2013.
So
that's the biggest difference.
You gave us some numbers early on about, like, I think, a number of lots and number of units. Is that what's affected by this time frame?
That's what, based on my review, it appears that, as I stated, there are could be 45 subdivision affected.
Yeah, 45.
At 4,201 lots.
Okay, so, but that's, we're talking about from 09 to 2013.
That's using 09.
Starting at 09, okay. So.
That would include, but that includes projects that were approved prior that would have been in the pipeline as of '09.
Okay, so.
That's why the list goes back to '06.
And then it was 7,000 units in an RPC and units in an RPC.
RPC was 23 of the 138 projects listed. So you got 23 projects that could be affected, totaling 7,615.
7,600.
And that's based on the approval by the ordinance that was adopted by the council.
And units, units could be townhouses, duplexes,
single family,
lots, single family, all kinds of things, right?
It's a whole, that's only the residential numbers, not relating to any commercial activity.
So what we do today, if we do take action on this, it can affect about 12,000, whether lots, units, or whatever, however you want to, but almost 12,000 type of properties, right?
And there could be a few more units that affect it, because there's 41 conditional uses, and a couple of those are multifamily.
Residential.
That are duplexes,
okay.
Or quadruplexes.
Originally,
it might be 20 units.
And you just brought that up. Originally, this was an emphasis was on residential applications, was I thought the.
But we also looked at conditional uses. So conditional uses could be, as I said earlier, could be a bar pit, could be a car lot, could be offices, a lot of professional offices.
Right. And there's one of the explanations of why we're doing this is the extension would provide a great economy tool and will help put people back to work. And that purpose was why they wanted 2 years. I'm just fascinated because if anybody believes in supply and demand, there's just no way there's any demand for any kind of 12,000 units here in the next couple of years. And
I can give you a bigger number than that if I had it.
No. 12,000 is just enough if anybody believes in the market and market forces. And I just see how this is going to do nothing. So anybody who believes that we can, county council can take some kind of action here with an extension, and we're going to create jobs, and we're going to, you know, have the economy boost. Counties across the country would be doing this. But it's a joke. Oh, it's a sleight of hand. Anyway, let me just finish. But so I'm just concerned that we have an appeal process, which was worked for 30 years plus, whatever. People who have real good reasons come in front of us and say, we'd like an extension. And I think probably 9 times out of 10, they got the extensions because they had good reasons and stuff like that. I see no reason why anybody in their wildest dreams would think doing this is going to improve the economy, create jobs, or anything. It's the properties that are out there that are in a good location, have a good price point. They're the ones that are going to survive. And it's called survival of the fittest. So I don't understand my fellow conservative Republicans. I can understand Jen, but,
yeah.
But my fellow conservative Republicans, how they could ever grasp hold of this concept and think that it's going to work. So I just think we're, again, wasting time. It's feel-good type of stuff. Oh, we've done something. We've done nothing. And they know it. It's either, I don't know if we're either doing this for some particular bank, mm-hmm. some particular application that's generate all this, but we've just gone around a big circle and made you come up with a big report. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'd love to see something like this work, my God.
George, I can't think of a person that can waste time any more than you can.
This is important.
I'm going to say
this. Go for it, Sam.
I know. Well, you pointed out here.
Mr. Wolf, you had the floor.
And the reason I'm going to say that is you just got done saying these people come before me, get permission, and yet you want to waste time and say, come on back again next year, and they're doing the same darn thing, the same daggone piece of land, and approve the same piece of land over and over again so they can come back to George and please beg, give me some more permission, George, so I can build. That's what it boils down to. And it boils down to wasting time. You talk about wasting time, that's waste of time.
Mr. Deaver?
Well, if we're not going to take any, we're not going to judge any of these, I don't know what we're here for. I mean, you know, that's our job is to, our job is to look at the way the we're responsible for the way this county grows. I mean, you know, I can't see just wholesale sending everything, regardless of its condition. And help me understand, we're talking about something that's already voided and bringing it back. Is that correct?
Technically, the voiding is a reference. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say it's void. It's all depending on this ordinance. If this ordinance is adopted, most of those projects would go forward.
If this is, but if it's not adopted, what happens
project,
if it's voided?
Project.
If they're not, it would be void.
But that's not even legal, is it? How can you do that?
You're asking the whole ordinance for purpose of the ordinance was to grant a 2-year extension for people to get substantial underway.
But I thought it was for people who had valid permission at this time. It was that their permission was still valid, that they still had time. maybe they're going to expire, you know, next month, in 2 months. That's what I thought we were talking about.
Some of the cases that states voided and states why. Some of those applications have been through the commission and asked for a time extension. They were not granted. Some have been to council and they were not granted. They're void. The listing includes those for reference purposes.
Oh, I don't understand legally how you can do that.
The whole intent was to not do, well, based on one project at a time, evaluating each project. It was to give a time frame that would be the same for all those ones that are in the process. That's why we set it at January 1 of 09 or 010, whichever that date is, and the 2013 as a dead-end date. That takes care of the problem.
I think that if you're going to support the ordinance, I think that's good that the
2013 was probably the best amendment
to the
ordinance.
That's probably good.
And that's only less than a year and a half away now, too. So.
More questions, Mr. Lank?
No.
It's a pleasure, Council.
Well, do we have the ordinance in front of us, or is it just a couple of the...
The public hasn't gotten the whole report.
Pardon me?
The public hasn't gotten the whole report. We just got it on the weekend. I got it on Saturday.
Mr. Moore, will you be reading the title prior to a vote?
Yes.
I would like to ask that the title be read and we vote.
Well, wait, I'm looking for it in the packet. Is it in the packet?
Mr. Baker just passed down the ordinance, I believe.
As introduced.
As introduced.
We haven't seen. Hadn't made it this far yet.
Hadn't made it that far.
Apparently stopped here with me.
So, this is the order.
I was asked to read it. Is it to be read as amended by the Planning and Zoning? The short title is an ordinance providing for the temporary extension of time for subdivision applications, conditional use applications, and residential plan community districts.
And Planning and Zoning, their recommendation differed from this in the date?
It was in the date in the actual body of the text itself, not in the short title. So if you wanted it as amended by Planning and Zoning, then it would be as amended in accordance with the language that Mr. Lank read into the record, and that was provided to council in part of their report.
And Lawrence, that date is what was recommended by Planning and Zoning?
The date the commission recommended was January, to go back to the date of approval of January 1, 2009.
Okay.
And with a dead-end date of January 1, 2013.
Okay, I'd like
for the expiration of current approval. Sorry,
I'd like to make that motion to approve this ordinance as amended by Planning and Zoning with those dates.
You got a second?
And again, those dates are the dates that Mr. Lank read into the record when he was giving his report, and is contained on the document provided to him, which included the Planning and Zoning minutes.
Correct.
Could we attach to it a jobs report? In 2013.
We have a motion and a second.
Jobs created or saved.
Any questions on the motion? If not, we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
If we were to vote for this, we would be voting for in the dark. I mean, I just got the report this weekend of the last two sections of what's existing. I wish it were on the computer so I and the people could even know where we are, and it's not there. So we don't have a handle on it. It goes back to a different council, a different time. It artificially props up the value of lands that was never intended by the original council when these developments were approved. And I think that it doesn't have a fair basis. Maybe it's a legal basis. I don't see that either. But no, I don't recommend that. No.
That's a no vote, Mr. Cole.
Well, I'm going to have to vote no also because I don't believe that this extension will provide any boost to the economy. I don't think it will do anything for jobs. I think it is an ordinance that is just it's some of this feel-good stuff. It sounds like you think we're doing something, and maybe it's a slight hand. I feel that this is just totally a waste of time. So I'll vote no.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Phillips.
Based on the recommendation of Planning and Zoning, recommendation of our Economic Development Director, recommendation of the Economic Development Committee, that is recognized by this council. I vote yes. I believe this risks no harm to the public, as these applications have already been vetted and approved, and this is a great opportunity for us to at least attempt to jumpstart this economy.
Mr. Wilson.
Even the Democrats.
Well, no doubt. I vote yes. And I sure vote yes because of planning and zoning recommendation. And it's also one of the phrases that was said in our amendment here, our extension. It says the process of attaining approvals and permits can be difficult, time-consuming, and expensive for both applicants. Here we are almost, we've almost come to a stop. It used to be slow down development. And we're talking about people out of work. We're talking about want to get things generated, get going. And those that do maybe think they could get started, here we are said, nope, we want to give you more of a harder time. Once you come back and go through the same process again, which we'd already been approved, and that's what gets me. If you've been approved, you got the same land. The land is there. It's all been approved. What changed? The land is still there. Why go through the same long process just so we can say we want to be large over you? Come back to us, and we'll see if we'll let you have it or not. What kind of security does people have in that kind of government? That's the problem. Where are you to get security? How does banks loan money? They say, we'll loan you the money, but we don't know if the government's going to let you have it or not. And those kind of things, it's all a slow down to a kill or to a stop. It's terrible. I say yes.
Thank you, sir. I've listened to a lot of different arguments here, and I have respect for all people in this council. And it might be a feel-good thing to some people. I don't know. It's not to me. These are projects that are already approved. It's not something we're waiving some kind of requirement on. I talk to a lot of people out there in the communities that are really, really hurting. Hopefully nobody in here is unemployed. You haven't lost your jobs or your homes. But I'm telling you, people out there have done that because they can't find a job. They need some kind of help. People from people that sell furniture to sell landscaping to bang nails to put wind, they're hurting. This is not your economy of 5 years ago. It's not what it was 10 years ago. These are tough, tough times on people in this community. I don't see where it hurts one thing to give people 2 year extension. I agree with one thing Mr. Cole said, probably some of these will never see light of day. If they don't, they don't. Banks aren't loaning money, people can't get money, they're scratching trying to find money. I don't see any way in the world this hurts anybody to extend something to 2013 to maybe, God pray maybe, somebody gets a job out of this and earns a living. And that's what I think it's all about, so I vote yes, motion carried. Next.